thank you all for coming this morning. First off, I mean, I would just like to really acknowledge all of the work that my colleagues here have been doing. The projects that we've been working on are all pilot projects, so it's really exciting to see the data that they're showing and presenting. Again, my name is Michelle Cantu. I'm with the California Family Health Council. We're a nonprofit that's based out of California. We hold Title X funds for the state, which means that we fund roughly about 350 clinic sites across the state of California. And we're really charged to focus and promote quality sexual and reproductive health care. And the bridging that this creates a really nice marriage with the state STD control branch and Los Angeles County's Division of HIV and STD programs. And so we've been able to do a lot of really great work, really bridging both the reproductive health side and the STD side. So today I'm going to be talking about implementing standardized STD follow-up trainings to advance STD prevention and control in clinical settings. All right, so a little bit about Los Angeles County. Of course, you've heard a lot about it from my colleagues, but based off of the 2011 sexually transmitted morbidity report, there were roughly about 57,000 unduplicated cases of STDs in the Los Angeles area. Of course, you see the highest percentage being chlamydia, but we also have really high case numbers of gonorrhea. Again, as part of looking more closely at the gonorrhea data in Los Angeles County by service planning areas, there's roughly 8 in Los Angeles. SPA 6, which District 2 encompasses, has really high rates of gonorrhea, and so that's where a lot of our work is focused. This is South Los Angeles area. So in order to address that, Mark Ridley Thomas, the second district supervisor in LA County's Division of HIV and STD Programs, came together to try to attack this project from 6 different ways. Case management, expanded screening, social marketing, community engagement, public relations, and school-level programs. The CDI, or CDIS, who are sitting here, are part of the case management component. And one of the things that we really wanted to identify were ways to make their work more efficient. And part of that has to do with working with the community-based organizations, but also the clinics that are around the area, especially those that are serving huge populations that are high risk. So when we think about our clinic sites, what we think is they're kind of like the first responders to this situation. They're the ones who are screening, they're the ones who are finding the positives, but then it's trying to figure out how we can utilize the CDIS and work really closely with those agencies, or clinic sites, excuse me. So very early on, we were able to identify people within the clinic site who we call STD trackers. They would typically serve a role as either an MA or a reproductive health associate. And so they're designated staff that do most of the follow-up for STD-positive patients. They do various tasks like calling the patient once the lab results have come in. They're the ones who fill out the confidential morbidity reports. They also provide positive counseling messages for the patients, so anything about talking about the importance of partner services, but also the importance of following up after 3 months for a retest. Some of the clinical challenges, though, within those positions is that there's high staff turnover. We see that a lot across the agencies that we work with. There's also usually a lack of clearly defined roles for this person. They often have limited training on either reproductive health or STDs. There's a lack of standardized protocols among the different clinical sites. And there's these constant updates to the guidelines, so STD treatment guidelines. In 2010, the guidelines just changed to dual therapy. And so keeping that staff informed informed with those guidelines is really important. So one of the things that our organization did was look at how could we create a training that would really help the staff and increase their knowledge about what we're doing in South Los Angeles. So what we did was we comprised several different resources, including the CDC STD treatment guidelines. The California STD HIV Prevention Training Center has really great resources that we were able to use. The California STD Control Branch and the Los Angeles County DHSP group as well had a lot of really great resources that we put together and conducted a training on. The training content included all of the STD epidemiology that we had, not only showing them what it looked like at a national level, but also in California, and then breaking it down further to Los Angeles, and then more specifically to District 2 and where in the population they were serving. We shared CDC screening and treatment guidelines. We went over positive patient communication, which includes the five Ps, past STIs, pregnancy history and plans, partners, practices, prevention, and STI HIV. We had a whole section on confidential morbidity reporting, and then finally we wrapped it up with partner management and really introducing them to the CETUS who are sitting here. As part of the chlamydia and gonorrhea management, we broke it down very nicely into four components: screening, treatment, treating partners, and rescreening. We also went over, this is an image of the LA County's confidential morbidity report. It's pretty intense, so what we did was we did a little practicum section with them where we gave them case studies and they were able to fill out these CMRs, and then we would give them the template that showed the correct answers. So we worked with them not only on how to fill out the CMR, but some of the more important information about CMRs, including things like providers will not be in violation of HIPAA requirements if they submit a CMR, which sometimes the MAs may think. And also just information about knowing when to send an updated CMR when the patients receive new treatment. So in LA, we hosted two trainings, one in October and one in November. We had roughly 60 participants that represented 28 different health centers. After the training, we presented them with a post-test, and this is just a couple of questions. We did primarily a knowledge, attitude, and behavior change test, but this shows some of the knowledge questions that we asked, which included which of the following is true for sex partners of a patient diagnosed with chlamydia, or when should a treated chlamydia-positive patient come back to the clinic for a retest. And what we saw with the post-test is that for the abnormal training for both October and November, it was about a 95% overall score of their knowledge, which is really exciting and great. But what was important for us was that they retained that knowledge. So 6 months later, we sent out a post-test of all the same questions. We incorporated a couple more about what might have changed over the last 6 months. And what we saw with the people who responded, which was about 30% of them, was that they had retained a lot of their information and still scored about 86%. One of the questions that we did ask was, did your skills or knowledge increase as a result of the abnormal lab follow-up training? And what was really exciting was that we saw about 66% of them did say that either their skills or knowledge did increase a lot or very much. We also asked questions about whether or not they incorporated any of that information into their practice, and about 90% of them said yes. So then we said, if so, what information did you share? So what was really great was that we saw this huge increase that most of them shared information about the confidential morbidity reports, which are really imperative for us to receive good data from the different clinics and to collect that data and to look at the reporting and what's happening out in the field. We were also excited to see that they talked a lot about retesting. In California, we have really low retesting rates, so any information we can get out there to share is great. During this whole process, though, we did get an opportunity to hear a little bit about their challenges and barriers. One of the things that we saw that was inconsistent is that across the different health centers, policies aren't the same. So, for example, there may be one agency that has 16 different health centers, and the policies within each health center may differ a bit. The job descriptions were also inconsistent, and oftentimes people didn't necessarily think that it was part of their role to do some of this work. We also saw a lack of quality assurance being done or conducted on screening, case management, or the completion of the CMRs. And then finally, one of the things in Los Angeles County that's a little bit of a barrier is that CMRs are currently being submitted via fax, which leads to a lot of human error, whether it's just incorrectly typing in the number or the fax machine being down, and so there's a backlog within LA County. However, we did see some really great best practices. We saw a couple of agencies that instituted a self-assessment site evaluation tool, which was really like a checklist of looking at if they were screening correctly, if they were doing all of the positive patient management follow-up correctly, which was really great to see. We saw some really great communication log forms, which indicated a checklist of all of the things that a STD tracker might say when calling the patient about their abnormal lab result. And then finally, we saw really great lab log forms. And one of the slides that Herman just showed, it's a great indication of how to decrease time to treatment. And so you can really, as a clinic, can really work to improve, do quality improvement with these types of forms. So ultimately, some things that we feel need to be further worked on and continue to be discussed are system changes that need to be developed to really do effective patient management, providing counseling messages to ensure the patient comes in for treatment, flagging charts to identify retesting or pop-ups in EMR for the patient when the patient comes back to retest and not miss those opportunities. Hopefully someday we'll be able to submit our CMRs online, which would just really make the process more efficient. And also integrate QI tools or quality improvement tools to ensure that all of these, we're meeting all of our benchmarks. We also hope that fast-tracking appointments can be set up at most clinical sites, so if the patient's positive, you can get them back in that day when you get the results to get treated, so increasing decreasing time to treat, training the key staff, and ultimately implementing sustainable protocols within the clinical sites. As part of our next steps with the training that we conducted, we're hoping to create modules on our online learning exchange where we can do online training and that could be available and easily accessible by new staff. So almost at all of the new hire orientations, having them go through this module. And hopefully that would be a little bit more sustainable process. And finally, I just want to thank all of my colleagues at California Family Health Council, our partners at the Department of HIV and STD Programs, and our partners at Planned Parenthood. Thank you.